right back to Jordy Ball, who will record the final out in game one. Belongs to Oklahoma. Jordy Ball, the two-hit shutout with 10 strikeouts.
And the Oklahoma, excuse me, and the Oklahoma Sooner softball team is now one win away from making more history. Scoreless going into the bottom of the fourth. The Sooners scored three runs to open things up, added a run in the fifth and the sixth, on their way to a 5-0 shutout win in game one of the best 2 out of 3 women's softball national championship series in OKC last night. Sooners now have won 52 consecutive games. That's NCAA record. And they can wrap up a third straight national title tonight. If they can win game two and get the sweep, they will battle Florida State at 6:30 tonight on ESPN. We'll have coverage from the 8-man All-Star Game practices coming up here in just a few minutes with Dusty over in Beloit, as he'll be joined by some Thunder Ridge Longhorns that are participating in the 38th annual 8-man All-Star Games at Trojan Field in Beloit coming up on Saturday. Our coverage will begin with pregame at 9:30, kickoff at 10 for the Division II game, and then 1 o'clock pregame and kickoff 1:30 for the Division I game. You can listen online, KatyCountry94.com, KatyCountry94 on the radio, and also get the free KatyCountry94 app on your smartphones. And don't forget that you can watch the live video stream of the 8-man games, courtesy of the Beloit Trojan channel. And there's a link to go straight to that. All you got to do for all the information you need, rosters, stats, profiles, the actual stream of the game, audio and video, go to this website. All you need to remember, 8manallstars.com. That's the number 8, 8manallstars.com. That is your number one source for everything, so you can grab online when you want it. So Dusty coming up in a few minutes from 8-man practices in Beloit. The Royals were in action last night, unfortunately.
This is Sanchez out towards center field. It's gone. Sanchez to dead center.
Marlins scored three on that swing, three more in the eighth. They win 6-1. They complete a three-game sweep in Miami. Jordan Lyles gave up 5 runs in 7 innings, but saved the bullpen through just 85 pitches, so fairly efficient. He's 0-10 on the season. Royals have lost 6 of the last 7. They're 18-44 on the season. They're on pace to lose over 110 games. And today they're off before starting a three-game series at Baltimore tomorrow evening with Daniel Lynch on the hill. Coming up, Dusty from 8-man practices.
Make sure to attend the 38th annual 8-man All-Star Game, Saturday, June 10th at Trojan Field in Beloit, Kansas. See the finest 8-man players in the state of Kansas, including Connor Sheriff Osborne, Luke Bates, and Cooper Germark from St. John's Tipton, Dalton Bice, Dylan Bice, and Caleb Wagonblast, Thunder Ridge, and Pike Valley's Kale Marcus. They'll buckle their chin straps in a battle between West and East. The 8-man Division II game begins at 10 a.m. Gates open at 9 a.m. with the 8-man Division I game to follow at 1:30 p.m. Admission is just $10 for adults, $5 for students K through 8th grade. Make sure to visit beautiful Beloit, Kansas for this year's 8-Man All-Star Games, Saturday, June 10th. Can't make it to the games? Listen to Katy Country 94 on Saturday or listen via the World Wide Web at katycountry94.com or 8manallstars.com. 8-Man All-Star Game coverage on Katy Country 94 is brought to you by Insurance Smart Melissa Westbrook Agent, Central Valley Ag, The Brush Group in Downs, The Schuyler Company in Downs, Cunningham Telephone and Cable, connect with us, Kearney State Bank and Trust Company, Thompson OK Tire in Beloit, AgCo in Beloit, and Remus Farms Chemical and Fertilizer in Concord City.
9:15 is our time. Welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Coming up later on the show, the NBA Finals Game 3 last night. The Nuggets, two players make history, and a former Jayhawk was a key component in KU's win, or the Nuggets' win last night over the Miami Heat. Plus, the KU men's basketball team is going to be in Puerto Rico. Stanley Cup Finals continuing, and we're going to hear from Roy McIlroy, his thoughts on this LIV PGA Tour golf merger. But first, we send it out to Dusty, 8-man practices over in Beloit, and he's joined by some very familiar names and faces from Thunder Ridge.
Yeah, we got the Longhorns with us here. There's three of them playing this year. I'm going to let Joel coach. I'll talk to him probably later this week. But the three guys here were live with the practice, Caleb Wagonblast, Dalton Bice, and Dylan Bice, and getting ready for the 8-Man Division II All-Star Game coming up on Saturday. We'll start first with Caleb Wagonblast. Caleb, I know it's an opportunity that you've enjoyed so far, I'm guessing, and I know just talking to you earlier in the week, you're really looking forward to this. But what stood out so far in these early practices for you?
The bond that we've created with some of the guys that maybe we haven't hung out with before. Like, I don't know, there's a handful of them that I've hung out with and gotten to know probably more than I would have if not being here and branching out a little bit more.
For you this week, what's your biggest thing you want to accomplish personally, and what do you want to get out of this week and as you go into the game on Saturday?
To learn from these other two coaches that I haven't been coached by before. They've got a lot to say and a lot to know, and I feel like that's going to really help me later on in college and in life.
Get a wagon blast from Thunder Ridge. We'll let you get back to practice. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Dylan Bice with us now. Dylan, obviously you had a lot of success at this level in high school in 8-man Division II, 4,000 rushing, 4,000 passing yards, and so you know a lot about the game, but Caleb said, you have a couple different coaches here in Powell and Engelken, as well as your coach Joel Strutkoff. What do you still learn, even though you know a lot about the game and have had a lot of success?
Oh, there's tons to learn. Football is all about growing, and every time you step on the field, you got to learn something and get better.
How do you feel about this group as a whole and how you can compete on Saturday?
Oh, this is an awesome group. Just hanging out with them, getting to know them. They're all really competitive, really strong. We've been lifting last two mornings in the morning, so really strong group.
Getting it in, you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Dylan Bice from Thunder Ridge, appreciate it. We'll go to his twin brother, Dalton Bice. Dalton, I know I talked to him earlier this week, and you as well, as we're going to get prepared for some features, but it's a unique opportunity for you to do this with your brother and have Dylan here. What's that dynamic been like so far this week?
It's great getting to play with him and be out here with him. It's really, really nice.
What's Coach Strutkoff been able to bring to the table for you to make this experience maybe a little bit easier?
Oh, just knowing the offenses and what he wants to do really helps.
And then just the experience that you've had so far, meeting some new kids. I don't know if you've had the opportunity, kind of like Caleb talked about, this is a new opportunity, but what's it been like to meet some of these guys that you've been knocking heads with over the last 4 years?
It's great, getting to meet them actually instead of playing against them, getting to know them and what they like doing.
Dalton Bice from Thunder Ridge, good luck on Saturday, man.
Thank you.
Thunder Ridge Longhorn representatives obviously represented very well. They were the 8-man Division II state runner-up and clearly one of the better teams in the state over the past couple seasons. And they're showing that representation and the success that they had here with those three guys that I talked to. And as I mentioned, Joel Strutkoff, their head coach, is working hard out here already this morning and helping out with this Division II West squad. So they'll be playing tomorrow, or Saturday morning, I should say, at 9:30 here on Katy Country 94 and the 8-man All-Star Radio Network. Live video stream at ncksports.com and 8-man All-Stars. As well. You can find all that info, and we're looking forward to that Division II game coming up at 10 o'clock where those Thunder Ridge Longhorns will showcase their talents with the Division II West.
Yeah, the luncheon we had yesterday, the Rotary Club Lions combined luncheon where the head coaches for all four of the 8-man All-Star teams spoke, I thought was maybe as interesting as we've ever seen. Because first of all, I'm old. I'm just going to say that because there are three coaches on the staffs this year that I've called play-by-play for over the years. Joel Strutkoff of Thunder Ridge, you've done that as well. Mitch Engelken of Baileyville and B&B, he's at Stafford now. He's an assistant coach this year. He coaches at Stafford. He was with Steve Tiernan at Baileyville B&B and won state title there, and I remember calling some of his games. And then Kyle Bright, I remember him as a three-point assassin in basketball for Maxville back in the day, and I was talking with him after the luncheon yesterday, and he goes, yeah, a few pounds more and a little bit older. I'm like, hey, man, I got a lot less hair than I did back when I was covering you back in 05, 04, 06, whatever it might be. But I thought it was very interesting yesterday because one of the coaches, Keith Weitrich from St. Paul, this is going to be the last game that he coaches. Because he's stepping down and done with coaching. He's got his own business that he runs, and so he's going to be coaching his son, which is the last of his kids that he's coaching. So he was very emotional when I was interviewing him for our pregame interview coming up on Saturday during the 8-man All-Star Game broadcast. So I thought that was very interesting. I talked with Trevor Powell. He's the head coach of the 8-man 2 West Club. He's from Buckland. He played in this game, as did Coach Weitrich. And then Coach Bright, Kyle Bright from Maxville, he played in this game as well. So three of the four head coaches, Dusty, have played in the game. And I thought your question yesterday at the luncheon was absolutely fantastic. And that was the comparison of the Shrine Bowl to the 8-man games, because the other coach played in the Shrine Bowl or been involved with the Shrine Bowl. And they had some interesting answers, didn't they?
Yeah, it really was. Like, it stood out to me that, because I don't know that there's ever been like a year where all four head coaches have played in a postseason All-Star game, and you know, in their senior year. And Brody Vandegrift, excuse me, there at Chase County, said that when he was at Medicine Lodge, he played in the Shrine Bowl, and now he's coached in this game, so he's actually been here before this year as a head coach. And I kind of just wanted to know what the differences was, because he did say, hey, this rivals the Shrine Bowl experience, and it's just as good and all that. So I wanted to see, you know, what's better about Eight-Man instead of the Shrine Bowl, because I remember, you know, when we read that thing every year about when they started these games, the Shrine Bowl just didn't give Eight-Man enough representation, really, and that's one of the big reasons that Coach Melby and Coach Fessenden and all those guys back then decided to start these games. And so I asked, like, what's better about this experience? And I thought that the most interesting thing that he said was that these small-town kids are way more invested in playing in this game because it's their last opportunity, whereas the Shrine Bowl, you get guys that are going to play at K-State, Nebraska, Oklahoma, no matter where they're going, D1, they're not really invested in it because they don't want to get hurt and they don't want to ruin their chances for their future. But I thought that was probably what stood out the most about what Brody Vandegrift said, was that these kids are invested, they're going to work hard all week, and they're ready to go, and just really, really passionate about this game compared to the Shrine Bowl.
Yeah, Coach Weitrich said that he's had, I think, three or four players that have played in both the Shrine Bowl and the Eight-Man games, and he said that if they had to choose which one to play in, they would choose the Eight-Man games because of the camaraderie that you have, and you're more time together, and you know, maybe a little tighter quarters. You're in a small town, so forth, but you hang out more often between practices, after practices, things like that. And I thought that was interesting as well. So, you know, I don't think people fully grasp here in North Central Kansas how important or how special these Eight-Man All-Star games are. I've said it, I think I say it every single year, before we got started with the Eight-Man All-Star games and helped come up with the idea of the pep rally, and then, of course, creating the Eight-Man All-Star Game Radio Network, having a website dedicated to Eight-Man All-Stars and the games themselves. There were a lot of people in Beloit didn't even know the games existed or didn't know when they were, and there was a prominent official in the city of Beloit when I moved here that didn't even know where or when the games were played. Yeah. And that was embarrassing to me, and that was the games are definitely have gone in the right direction. We like to take some credit for that, but it's not just us. You know, the NCK Tech College is really, I think, ramped up and stepped up over the years. The Beloit Chamber of Commerce has stepped up and helped, and many other organizations. There's banners now welcoming players. There's a check-in day where it's a little bit more. There's more flair to it. The pep rally is awesome because it gets the kids to go through town instead of just staying on the highway. They can see a little bit more of Beloit. I mean, it's for the city of Beloit, it is a gigantic marketing tool that still probably isn't being fully utilized, but it's at least better than it once was. And so but what people need to understand is this is the only place in the entire state of Kansas where there are Eight-Man All-Star football games. This is it. This is it. Beloit is the epicenter, the center point at Trojan Field in Beloit on Saturday, where you see the 80 best players in the entire state of Kansas in Eight-Man football. And a few of them are going to go play sports in college, some different sports, some football. Many, like you said, this will be their last game they'll ever play. And I tell you what, we've seen some guys get fired up. We've even seen a couple guys ejected, which is not great, but that means they care. And they're really, I mean, these kids lay it out there. There is tremendous hitting, great speed, great athletes. And these kids are so smart, pick it up so quickly. I mean, this is the best of the best, not in North Central Kansas. It's the best of the best in the entire state of Kansas. And then you've got some of the best coachings in there and coaching minds in the state of Kansas, all converging for 1 week in Beloit at Trojan Field. Then it culminates on Saturday. And I think there are a lot of people that are starting to understand it, but I think there's still a lot of people out there don't fully grasp how big an event this is and how special it really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, this is why we spend the time each year to come out here and see these kids at practice and really get to know them on our end too, and understand who's playing and what they're about, and you know, some stories that you'll hear throughout the week, and obviously that you'll hear on Saturday when we do the games. I think that's probably the biggest thing you said there that people maybe don't grasp, is this is the entire state. Mm-hmm. It's not like two leagues playing against each other or just the North Central Kansas All-Star game. It's the entire state. There's kids from every corner, close to Oklahoma and Missouri and Colorado and Nebraska, just anywhere you can think of. They're coming from everywhere to be part of this, and you talk to the kids every year and the relationships that they create and the bond that they create with guys that they would never have the chance probably to meet in real life. I said yesterday social media kind of changes a little bit of that aspect of it, but and the coaches will tell you that too, that you might be able to get to know your team a little bit before you get here, but until you have that human connection and that one-on-one interaction, it's a special experience. And you know, you try to do everything you can as an outsider to help cultivate that and be a part of it and make sure they understand, too, what they're experiencing here this week. And so it's a whole group of people that need to really embrace this and understand what it actually means, not only for these kids, but for the community of Beloit and North Central Kansas as a whole.
And there's so many people that work behind the scenes and put all this together. You know, obviously, Dave Dubert's done a wonderful job since taking over as of chair of this event. And certainly, there are many Rotarians and Lions Club members that volunteer their time on game day or throughout the week. So practices go smooth, and you got to organize the bus and when it's going to be here, there, and taking the kids to the movies or to a safety demo at Rolling Hills Electric or going to the pep rally tomorrow at 4 o'clock at Chautauqua Park, which encourage people to get there. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll give away some merchandise and prizes, and the kids do some fun stuff. We have a new game that we're going to do this year, a new competition that should be a lot of fun as well. So it's just it is a big deal, and I think if you like football or love football, you need, if you're around, go to the game Saturday. You get the two games for the price of one. I mean, what a deal that is. And you get the morning game at 10 and the afternoon game at 1:30, and they're talking highs of 80 to 82 degrees. There is a chance for some rain. We'll see if that transpires. Chance for some scattered situation with rain, but that chance has diminished a little bit the last 24 hours. But the temperature is not going to be 98, 99 like it has been some years for the afternoon game, so that's important as well. So I know we're looking forward to it, and of course, Dusty, appreciate all his hard work with basically one arm, but he's still the important thing is Dusty's mouth still works. That's important for radio.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to talk. And he's been able to type. That's important, too, whether it's one hand or a combination of two after his surgery on his broken collarbone. And I hear that they thought about bringing you a courtesy four-wheeler to drive around on practice, but I hear that was quickly nixed by me and your entire family. So
Probably so.
Sorry, yeah. You're just going to have to go with the old-fashioned car or walk your way around campus over there at NCK Tech. Dusty, thanks for all the coverage. We appreciate it. All your work throughout the week. And we'll talk more about the games. We'll talk a little bit more specifically about the games and the matchups tomorrow morning. What do we got to look forward to in regards to profiles and everything else?
Yeah, today we're profiling Connor Scherr from Osborne. You can listen to those on our sportscast. It's on the website as well at 8manallstars.com. And, you know, later today or tomorrow, we'll have a couple profiles on some of our affiliates, area kids. And then coming up tomorrow on the sports, we'll have profile on Thunder Ridge and kind of dive deeper a little bit into what they've been able to do over the last couple seasons and the success that they've had. So that'll be on Friday sports with Thunder Ridge. And again, always anything that I have on my sportscast is posted online at 8manallstars.com as well. And that's a place to go, again, for all the info that you need about this year and every year for the games here in Beloit.
Very good. Thank you, Dusty. We will talk to you again tomorrow morning on the Sports Ticket.
Sounds good.
That's Dusty Dinosaur, sports director, does a heck of a job. There's nobody better in the business of covering eight-man all-star games than Dusty. I mean, Dusty, and he's doing it this year with one arm. I mean, if that doesn't tell you dedication and how much he cares about the games and the kids, and that's why we tried so hard and worked so hard to become part of the coverage of the 8-Man All-Star Games, and we were afforded that opportunity back in 2009, and I think it's been a great relationship, and now here in 2023, we get ready for two games on Saturday, and once again, the pep rally is coming up tomorrow. More on that in a moment, and more of the sports ticket to come after this. Stop by for the 12th annual 8-Man All-Star Football Game Pep Rally this Friday, June 9th at 4 p.m. at Chautauqua Park in Beloit. Meet and greet the 8-Man All-Stars, the best 8-Man players in the state of Kansas, and enjoy some high-quality entertainment. There'll be dancing, cheering, games, giveaways, and much more. So mark your calendars and make sure to be a part of the 12th annual 8-Man All-Star Football Game Pep Rally this Friday, June 9th at 4 p.m. at Chautauqua Park in Beloit. Brought to you by the Beloit Area Chamber of Commerce, the Guaranty State Bank Trust Company, and KD Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake.
Up the floor, goes right at Butler, leans in, shot is good. It's the Christian Brown Show here in the fourth quarter, and the lead is ballooned to 21.
Christian Brown, the former Jayhawk, national champion at KU, might be on his way to being an NBA champion as well. Christian Brown, 7 of 8 from the floor. He finished with a playoff career high 15 points in just 19 minutes, scoring 11 points from late in the third quarter to early in the fourth. He did a great job of moving to open spots on the floor versus the zone defense of the Heat. Nuggets use a 29-20 third quarter, create some separation on their way to a 109-94 win over the Heat in Game 3. In Miami last night, the two-headed monster of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic did the damage for the Nuggets along with Christian Brown. As Jokic and Murray each had triple doubles. Murray, 34 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Jokic, 32 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. Jokic, with the first 30-20-10 game in NBA Finals history, with those 32 points, 21 rebounds, 10 assists. He also had two block shots, played well defensively. He is the first player in NBA history to notch 10 triple doubles in a single postseason run. Jokic now has 3 of the 5 postseason 30-20-10 games in NBA history. The other two belong to guys named Wilt and Kareem. Last night, Jamal Murray and Jokic each played 44 minutes. Murray played the entire fourth quarter. He scored 20 points in the first half. The Nuggets had a 5-point lead at halftime, pushed that out to 21 there in the third. Murray had 12 in the fourth to stave off a late Heat rally, and he finished with his own triple-double. And Murray and Jokic are the first teammates in NBA history to record 30-point triple-doubles on the same night. There have been well over 100,000 NBA games played between the regular season and playoffs, and this was just the 46th time ever that a player had ever had 30 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists in a game. Even more stunning is that there have only been 5 such outings in the playoffs, as I just mentioned, and Jokic has 3 of them. Wilt Chamberlain one, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar the other. Last night, Jimmy Butler, 28 points on 11 of 24 shooting. Bam Adebayo, 22 points, 17 rebounds, but he took 21 shots, so that's not very efficient, 7 of 21. But really, a couple keys of this game. The Nuggets out-rebounded the Heat 58-33. They outscored the Heat in the paint 60-34. And even though the Nuggets were only 5 of 18 from 3, the Nuggets' defense was much better last night than in games 1 and 2. Miami shot just 31% from 3, 11 of 35, and they dominated the glass, as we mentioned, dominated in the paint, and now the Nuggets are up 2-1. As I've said yesterday on the show, the last couple days, the championship teams, I've seen this many times over the years, whether it be the Celtics, the Lakers, the Bulls, the Lakers with Magic, the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, is that, and the Warriors have done it too, the great teams, when they lose home court advantage, they usually get it right back. Like if they lose game 2 at home, they get game 3 on the road. Or if they lose game 4 and a series is, you know, something weird where they got to go on the road and win a game 5, they do. The great teams do it. And I said, we're going to find out about the Nuggets. And we did last night. Jokic was just sensational. Murray was fantastic. Christian Brown was absolutely awesome. And without Christian Brown, I don't know if they win that game last night. In fact, after the game, Jokic was asked about Christian Brown's performance. As the Jayhawk had 19 minutes, and the former Mizzou Tiger, Michael Porter Jr., who's still a no-show offensively in the series, Porter Jr., was just 1 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3. He's now 3 of 19 from 3 in the series. He's shooting just 25% in the series overall. Had just 2 points last night. He did have 7 rebounds, but he only played 21 minutes. Brown had 19 minutes, which is more than he normally does. So you could argue that Brown took some of Porter's minutes last night, and that was a good thing for the Nuggets. Here's Jokic asked about Christian Brown.
You in the past have said about Christian Brown, you just call him a winner. He's a winner. When you see him play like he did tonight, what are your thoughts? And two, you know, what did you get a chance to say to him after the game?
I mean, I told him you won us the game, and like you said, he's a winner, and he won us the game with energy, with just the focus, the mindset. Even when he make a mistake, it's an aggressive mistake, so you cannot be mad at him. I always say that. So he won us the game, and he was really good tonight.
Christian Brown plays with emotion. He plays with passion. He plays with fire. Like his head is on fire, or his pants are on fire. His shorts are on fire. I mean, he's fired up. Last night when he got that steal and that dunk, he had a little extra for the crowd. And he did that in a KU game, I think, in a tournament game, possibly, if I remember correctly, and got teed up for it. He is a competitor. He's a dog, and that's a compliment. He's an absolute dog. And that's the type of guys you need on your team to be successful. He won 3 state titles in high school. He won a national title in college. And now has a chance to win an NBA championship in his first year. And he didn't even play in game 4 against the Lakers in the last round in the sweep of the Lakers. He didn't play as much in that series. And he made a few mistakes defensively, being in some wrong spots. But he, as Mike Malone pointed him out after the game in the locker room, they showed that video and audio last night. He said it was a joy to watch. Brown, 15 points in 19 minutes. But not only that, he had to defend Jimmy Butler on some possessions, and he went toe-to-toe with Jimmy Butler. And as Jokic said, even if he makes a mistake, it's an aggressive mistake. You know, that's one thing that we've tried to tell our kids coaching whatever sport over the years as youth coaches is, hey, it's okay to make mistakes, but we want mistakes where you're trying. We don't want mistakes where you're lollygagging the first when you hit the ball, or not paying attention and the ball goes between your legs, or you're not in the right defensive position. You know, if you're hustling and trying to stretch a single into a double and you get thrown out, you know, as long as, you know, you're aggressive, I mean, yeah, you might not like that, but as a coach, you're at least your kid's hustling, trying to get there to make something happen. So you can live with aggressive mistakes more so than the mental mistakes. And Christian Brown gained even more confidence, or his coach gained more confidence in playing Christian Brown last night. And every series is about matchups. You know, Kevin Love starting in game 2 helped the Heat. Christian Brown's play in game 2 and game 3 last night has really helped the Denver Nuggets. That means that Michael Porter Jr. doesn't play as much? Well, that's okay, because he has not played well in the series. So when you have somebody that doesn't play well, you need somebody else to step up and pick up the load. And that is what Christian Brown has done the last 2 games. So Christian Brown was a 21st overall pick in the first round. I have to admit, I never thought Christian Brown would be as good a player as he is today. I didn't think he would be a focal point of a team that won a national title at KU. I thought he'd be a role player at KU. I didn't know if he could be a good defender. He's an outstanding defender. I did not know if he would be drafted in the first round. I did not know if he would be a good NBA player. And the more I watch Christian Brown play, and I've watched him during the regular season too, and I was impressed. He's not afraid of anybody. Like, a lot of rookies kind of get googly eyed, and you know, maybe they're going to be a little bit concerned or intimidated by guarding Jimmy Butler. I mean, that's like Christian Brown this year dunking LeBron's face. So he dunked in Durant's face against Phoenix in the playoffs this year. Christian Brown is fearless on the basketball floor. And what he brings, he's the type of guy that you want on your team. And he's a guy you hate to play. And that is a gigantic compliment. Gigantic compliment. Christian Brown is a winner. Period. That's the best way to describe Christian Brown. He's an absolute winner, and he's only, what, 22, 23 years old? He's an absolute winner. He makes teams better. His brother Parker transferring to KU, you know, if you're a KU fan, you hope that Parker can, you know, make KU better, much like Christian made KU better. But Christian Brown was a big, big part of the game last night, and the Nuggets are 2 wins away from the first ever NBA championship. Now listen, this series is not over. I said that the Nuggets must win game 3 if they're going to win the series. That was my opinion. Yes, they technically could have lost game 3 and then won game 4 and go back to Denver and have home court. But I felt like the Nuggets had to regain the mojo immediately. Don't let the Heat get more and more confident. And they took it to them last night. The Heat have lost their last 3 road, or excuse me, the Heat have lost their last 3 home games in the playoffs. There is not an aura of invincibility playing in Miami on their floor. Nuggets have won 4 straight games on the road in the postseason. So, but it starts with Jokic. I mean, the guy was sensational last night. His passing, the Nuggets cut better without the ball. The Nuggets had a better idea how to attack the Miami zone when they went to that zone. And Christian Brown, instead of Michael Porter, means more movement offensively, I think. And he cut to the goal and got a couple of buckets, and Jokic is going to find you. The Nuggets made some adjustments offensively against that Heat zone. We saw this with Jokic playing more on the baseline at times against that zone instead of at the high post. That caused some problems for the Heat to have to decide on the weak side. Are we going to try to defend the baseline or a guy cutting from the wing into the lane? The Nuggets made some adjustments, and I've been hearing where Eric Spoelstra is a better coach than Mike Malone, and based on what he has to work with and Mike Malone, you might agree with that, but Mike Malone's no dunce. Mike Malone and the Nuggets made some adjustments last night, and I thought the biggest adjustments that they made was they moved better without the ball, which was an easy adjustment. That's something they just didn't do well in Game 2 that they've done well all year long. But they made little tweaks as to where Jokic, the Joker, was on the floor. And Miami, you know, went man-to-man. They played what looks like, at times it looks like a 2-2-1. Sometimes it looks like a 1-2-2, 1-3-1. It's kind of a hybrid type of zone. And Jokic, also played very well defensively, and that goes a little bit unnoticed because of the numbers he put up. And then Murray was sensational, Caldwell Pope with some contributions, and Christian Brown was gigantic off the bench. And the Nuggets are up 2-1. But like I said, this series is far from over. I had the Nuggets winning the series in six. I stick with the Nuggets in six. But I thought that if the Nuggets are going to win the series, they got to win last night. I think the Heat could have lost last night and still won the series. I know it sounds weird because they'd be losing a home game, but I thought the Nuggets, for their psyche, they needed to get home court back. They have not trailed in any of the series so far in the postseason. They were tied 2-2 with Phoenix. They swept the Lakers. They won in five over the T-Wolves. So this is not a team that's been down in the playoffs in regards to 2-1, 3-2, 1-0. And I thought it was important for them to get that. And their defense was much better, especially in the fourth quarter. And if they can continue to play like that defensively and have that energy, there's only one day off between Game 3 and then Game 4 tomorrow night in Miami at 7:30 on ABC. I expect the Heat to bounce back. I expect the Heat to win Game 4 and make this a great series. And it would go 6. Some people had the Nuggets winning in 4 or 5. That could still happen. But I said yesterday, and I stand by the comment, whoever would win Game 3 wins the series. So if the Heat would have won last night, I would have changed my prediction. But the Nuggets did, and they won by 15, and they really controlled things in the second half. The KU men's basketball team announced they will make a trip to Puerto Rico in the month of August. The trip will be from August 1st through the 8th. It will include three exhibition games on August 3rd, 5th, and 7th against pro/club teams in Puerto Rico's BSN League. Head coach Bill Self said, and I quote, "We are excited for the upcoming Puerto Rico trip. We have three returning starters, but the other scholarship guys are new. This trip will allow the team to bond, get some extra work in, and play competitive games." You can read much more on the trip for the KU men's basketball team at KDCountry94.com, and there is a chance that we'll be having those games on Z96.3 The Lake in the month of August for you to hear from Puerto Rico. The Stanley Cup Finals continue tonight. The Vegas Golden Knights hold a 2-0 series lead over the Florida Panthers, but the series shifts to Florida tonight for Game 3. Obviously, the Panthers in a must-win situation. Puck drops at 7 o'clock tonight on TNT. The Knights, much like the Nuggets, two wins away from their first ever championship. As we talked about a few days ago and also yesterday, the PGA Tour and LIV Golf are merging. Rory McIlroy is one of the PGA Tour's most outspoken loyalists during its 18th month battle with the LIV Golf Tour for the best players in the world. He said he still has confidence in PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, but that it's hard for me to sit up here and feel somewhat like a sacrificial lamb and feeling like I put myself out there and this is what happens. Monahan has been criticized for keeping PGA Tour members, including McIlroy, in the dark during their negotiations with LIV Golf. Monahan will be the CEO of the new company. McIlroy said Monahan's meeting with more than 100 PGA Tour players on Tuesday was heated. McIlroy said much of the frustration came from players who were trying to keep their PGA Tour cards and fear that they'll lose spots in fields of future tournaments if LIV Golf players are allowed to return to the PGA Tour. There still has to be consequences to actions, McIlroy said. The people that left the PGA Tour harmed this tour, started litigation against it. We can't just welcome them back in. That's not going to happen. Well, they're going to be back in. Will they be fined? Possibly, but they got plenty of money they made from LIV Golf to where they can handle the fines. So yesterday, Roy McIlroy was at a press conference and he was asked a few questions. Here's that exchange.
I still hate live. Like, I hate live. Like, I hope it goes away, and I would fully expect that it does. And I think that's where the distinction here is. This is the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the PIF. Very different from LIV. All I've tried to do is protect what the PGA Tour is and what the PGA Tour stands for, and I think it will continue to do that. So, look, going forward, I hope that there's, you know, there may be a team element, and you're going to see maybe me, maybe whoever else play in some sort of team golf, but I don't think it'll look anything like LIV has looked, and I think that's a good thing.
Just as a follow-up, I mean, you do see why fans are upset, though. I see what you're saying, that it's not LIV, it's the PIF. But nonetheless, you know, during this back and forth over the past year, at one point, Jay Monahan said a deal like this would never happen out of respect for the victims of 9/11. Obviously, you're not responsible for what Mr. Monahan says, but you can see why this has stirred up a lot of emotions in fans, right?
Of course. You know, I said it to Jay yesterday, you've galvanized everyone against something, and that thing that you galvanized everyone against, you've now partnered with. So, yeah, of course I understand. It is hypocritical. It sounds hypocritical. The one thing I would say is, again, whether you like it or not, the PIF and the Saudis want to spend money in the game of golf. It is they want to do this, and they weren't going to stop. So how can we, you know, the thing for me, and this is this one thing that I've always thought about, how can we get that money into the game but use it the right way? And I think that's what this ultimately will do, hopefully. I mean, that's my hope.
So that was Roy McIlroy. Man, I tell you, what a crazy story that was that broke earlier this week. And it's not all put together yet. I mean, there's agreements in principle, so forth and so on. There still has to be a vote by a PGA Tour board. I believe that's 10 members, 5 players, 5 non-players. I would imagine it'll pass, though, because you're eliminating the competition in regards to LIV Golf not having competing tournaments. But they all have kind of joined together. So I wouldn't say that, you know, it's like Dusty said yesterday, it's, you could say that PGA Tour is joining LIV Golf. You can say LIV Golf's joining a PGA Tour. You can say that you're eliminating the competition, but in a way, you're just getting all back. You're getting the gang back together, which is fine. And the PIF, the Public Investment Fund, which billions of dollars that with the Saudi Crown Prince, that they're going to have a lot of influence on the PGA Tour. Now, it's great money wise for a lot of the players. Now for those players, as Roy had mentioned yesterday, that are fighting for their card or to stay on tour, it's going to make it a little bit more difficult. You know, how much money will they make and so forth and so on? I do not know. But it is going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. And I think there's going to be a few more, I don't want to say curveballs, but I think there's going to be some nuances to this that may surprise people. And I think it might not be as smooth sailing as some people think it's going to be. It certainly isn't smooth sailing now in regards to a lot of people upset, especially how they found out about it. There are some that still would like to see Jay Monahan removed as commissioner of the PGA Tour, although I think that anger will subside over time. But for golf fans, it's probably a good thing from the standpoint that everybody's going to be unified and there's one big tour and you're going to see the best of the best compete against the best of the best, and it should be the best golf in the world. So that would mean the golf fans come out ahead in this deal. Quick Royals note to pass along to you. Jordan Lyles has made 13 starts as a Kansas City Royal. The Royals have lost all 13 starts. That is the longest losing streak in starts made by a specific pitcher in Royals history, and the Royals have been pretty bad at times over the last 30 years. By the way, the Royals' 18-42 start in their first 60 games this year is the second worst start in franchise history, trailing only 2006, and I believe the 06 team, I think the 06 team lost 104 or 106 games. I'm going to pull it up here. The Royals, they went 62-100. Wow. Okay. I know there was one year where the Royals, I think, lost. I know they lost 104 games one year. Might have been 106. So the Royals, they have a chance to make franchise history this year. They are on pace to have. They're on pace to have their worst record in franchise history. And here it is. The most losses the Royals have had was in 2000. Well, this is a great stretch. In 04, they lost 104 games. 05, 106. That's the worst they've ever had, 56 and 106. They're pacing to do worse than that this year. They were 62 and 100 in 2006. They lost 104 games in 18, 103 games in 2019. Royals are right now 18 and 44. They're only winning 29% of their games. So if they keep this pace, they will lose 100 in, I think, 15 games. And still might not have the worst record in baseball because the A's are absolutely tanking. I guess if you're a Royals fan, you just look at it this way. Play all the young guys. We stink anyway. Let's play all the young guys, see who's going to stick, who's actually going to be players of the future. And guys that can't cut it, this is your one-year trial run. And then you hopefully you do a better job drafting, developing players. Maybe you spend a little bit of money and get a free agent player or two that helps the speed up the process of being more respectable. But right now, the Royals on pace. In fact, the Royals have to play a game above 500 the rest of the season to get to 69 wins. Just to get to 69-93. So, yep, sure glad Chiefs training camp's around the corner.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.